And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 763. Recapping the week 7 fab coming your direction here. Not quite as interesting as week 6, but still plenty to discuss on this week's show. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Back on top of the main event overall. How are we doing, Ben Tidd?
Hey, Bubba, I'm doing well. Way to not mention it at all till we started recording. I should have known better, but I appreciate the shout out once more.
Well, because usually we text about it and stuff. I hadn't heard anything. I get an email today. I'm like, oh, he's burying the lead. Got it. Okay. Yeah, he's back. See, we knew it. We've had faith this whole time. So, yes.
Yeah, that's probably going to be a lot of up and down, hopefully. Yes. At least that's the goal, is to stay in competition the entire time.
I hope I follow your pattern, because I'll have stretches where I'm doing very well in a bunch of leagues, and then like 7 days later, it's not the case, and then it's starting to bounce back again. It's like a roller coaster this time of the year, which you kind of expect, honestly, as part of the situation. But let's keep riding that wave, that's for sure, and see where things go. All right, let's talk about some news here before we get into the regular recap on the show here. And we'll start with Sunday. The weekend was busy, but Sunday was really busy when it came to injuries. Shota Umaga on Monday officially went on the IL after leaving to start on Sunday with a hamstring injury. It seems kind of odd because Shota left his start prior to that with cramping in his legs. So do with that information as you choose. We still don't know the grade of the injury. Gavin Hollowell was recalled. We don't know if he's just bullpen help for now. People are hoping for Cade Horton, who's been great in AAA. We'll have to wait on that analysis probably at a later date and time. But I think it's simple. We're holding Shota, but this just isn't ideal, of course.
No, it's not. I have I'm decently invested in Shota. I have him on 3 teams, including that main event we just mentioned to start. But I think someone in the Discord for you and Ryan's Patreon said that it was a different location than the cramp he supposedly had last weekend. But I mean, you hear he has the cramp, and then of course you hope that he'll be fine, then okay, avoids the IL, and then this happens. So it's kind of annoying. I'm not sure what I would have liked to have happened, because he did pitch well yesterday, Shota. But it's unfortunate. It didn't look too terrible in the highlight of him actually getting hurt, but who knows how long it's going to be. Everything's different, but definitely hold.
Yep, definitely a hold indeed. Another one that goes to the IL, Yordan Alvarez. It's the IL. He missed the Saturday and Sunday games over the weekend with hand inflammation. Now he's going to hit the IL with that hand inflammation to let it fully heal. It's just like another, I'm literally looking at a tweet right now. It's just one IL stint after another. Each year there's one or two solid IL stints when it comes to Yordan Alvarez. And this be another one for the big man. So what's your thoughts on this one?
I don't know if everyone remembers, but Yordan had a hand issue. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, and it ended up going away. But it's kind of concerning that, once again, he is dealing with hand inflammation. Not good for a power hitter at all. I'm looking at his player note right now on NFBC, and it looks like Alvarez won't need imaging, so that's good for now. I mean, if it doesn't heal properly, that may have to change. He may have to go get an MRI or something. Yeah, and then it says a couple years ago. And then we're not sure if it's a recurrence or not, but definitely stinks. Their lineup has got a lot weaker in Houston. It was kind of hurting with the loss of Tucker and Bregman. But it does look like DeZenzo will probably be a full-time player now, which is who was mentioned here in the note, which is good because he's been playing pretty well lately. I mean, I don't know if DeZenzo's a name for 12 necessarily. We might go over him tonight, but I do have him in a DC, so that's helpful for sure.
Well, I think we talked about him last week potentially, and I made him a pick in 12, so I'll tell you that much. I have a lot of dissent, and we'll talk about that at that point in time as well. But, this will open up the door. I think it actually extends situations for, obviously, DeCenzo, who was already pretty much taking over, it feels like, the left field situation. But it kind of also locks in a little more playing time for Cam Smith, where things are getting a little murky there. There's a world where his production is really hitting the skid, so he could have been a casualty here. I still think there's more moving and shaking in this lineup to come, but that's a whole nother situation for another time. But yes, this is I love Alvarez as a hitter, but every preseason I say I just avoid him in drafts because I'm worried about what is it, the knee, the hand, what are we going to get next? And sadly, here it is. And these things linger with him for some reason. They just like don't go away. So to your points you made, like it sucks, but it's almost like, okay, you knew this was coming. Hopefully it's the minimal situation, and we'll kind of go from there. Texas Rangers, they're moving and shaking. We already know Jake Berger got sent back to AAA, hopefully for a short period of time. They released Leody Taveras on Sunday. And on Monday, they're promoting Evan Carter to join the team on Tuesday for their first game of the week. Evan Carter should, on paper, head straight into the outfield to take Leody's spot. And towards the end, Leody was platooning, so we'll see how that plays out. But Evan Carter, you know, if you look at his overall profile, hitting 188, five homers, two steals at AAA, not great, of course. 174 ISO isn't bad, but there is some optimism, obviously. A guy that used to have a big skill set, Ben. What are your expectations for Evan Carter if he gets that regular run?
Well, they're different from the preseason, because I was pretty in on Evan Carter. He was going. I feel like everyone forgot how good his projections were going into last season. He was almost a 2020 guy by projections, which isn't easy to come by with a decent average. So I thought around pick 300, he was a pretty good flyer. I took him in a couple of fab leagues. I since dropped him. I haven't been a DC, so hopefully, and actually, before we record, I actually switched him in for Hunter Renfroe, because I feel like if Carter's getting recalled, he's probably going to play, and Renfroe is not guaranteed playing time at all with the Royals. So, yeah, I'm starting Carter in a league already. I did, when we go over Fab, I was able to get him in a main event. Not the good one, but one that needs help. So, he'll probably bat low in the Rangers lineup to start, but with how bad it's been, I guess there, if he does well to start out, there's a good chance that Carter could move up to the top. Right, I mean, right now it's Josh Smith, so I could see him taking Josh Smith his spot, but necessary essentially. And if he can hit leadoff, that'd be huge. But the other thing too is that if his back is going to hold up, that's like the biggest question. But it seems like so far so good. He's healthy, so for now, just I think he has the upside that would warrant a pickup in a 12 teamer, especially like in a 15 too. So. If you're able to add him now, and if you didn't add him on Sunday, then I'd definitely look to add Carter if you have a roster spot open.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And even with all the struggles, dude's still walking like 14%. So he's showing that. He's slugging 416, so it's not like it's off the charts. But he's doing the little things right. It's just the full package has not arrived just yet. And hopefully it does, like you said. You know, he's a guy we've had high hopes for before. We'll see where it pans out now. Mason Winn of the St. Louis Cardinals left Sunday's game two with an ankle sprain. He's not in the lineup on Monday. The Cardinals, as of this recording, have not designated what's taking place. I imagine an IL stint. I'd be shocked if he doesn't end up on the IL. And he was just starting to find his swing, Ben, since coming off the IL the last time around here, which is really frustrating for us Mason Winn believers. I'm not saying us, me, and you, because I don't know. I can't remember if you are, but I am, obviously. Since he came back from the IL on April 22nd, 324, two homers, two steals, nine runs scored. Like, that was about to start playing really nicely. So it's still a hold for me. It's just a massive hit for a guy we've been waiting to get going and finally started cooking.
It is. I was definitely a fan last year at his price. I wasn't as in with that early 150 pick or about like 150 pick in drafts this offseason. But I do like Winn. I did sit him there's a good chance he does go on the IL, or maybe he misses a couple games. And at that point, the first half of the week's a wash. So he was dropped in main events when, so I guess, but I don't know how many there were. He was available in one of mine. I was outbid on him when he came back the first time, but I would definitely try to hold him if you can, if he does go on the IL, and I would probably sit him if you're able to still sit him by the time you listen to this.
Yep. I would be sitting him for sure and hope it's a minimal stint. And here's some like random things just to keep an eye on, because we do not know just yet. But Tanner Bibee, Ben, left his start on Sunday with cramping in both legs, which is impressive. That's like really impressive stuff. I'm benching him this week. Production has been kind of mediocre as it is. And with the unknown, like, he doesn't have to recover from one cramp. It's multiple cramps. So where are you at, like, Tanner Bibee, if you're rostering him?
Well, I'm not, so I don't have to make this decision, fortunately. He is facing, or he's lined up to face the Phillies, which they're a tough lineup. His on the year, yeah, things have gotten ugly for him. 28 Ks, 16 walks, and 38 innings. Like you said, it's impressive that he had cramps in both legs. I forget who the player was, but the guy who said he eats bananas and never cramps. I think he should watch that video, Bibee. But yeah, I could see, I probably would. I mean, it's hard to sit. You're probably your SP2 or SP3. So I don't know. It's I guess if you can't afford a zero, then I would definitely sit him. I suppose it's just it's a tough call when there's no concrete news yet.
Yep, it's a tricky one indeed. Randy Arozarena of the Seattle Mariners left with a hamstring injury on Sunday. I have not seen the Mariners lineup at the time of this recording, so I don't know if he's in or out. There has not been any news on Randy. The team said it was minimal, just something to monitor. I have not a whole lot to say there. Obviously, if he's not in tonight, I'd probably bench him for the first half of the week, but it would be nice to get some info here soon.
Agreed. I do have Randy on that main event. I have him in another DC as well. I keep checking this player page for an update and there's nothing yet, but like you said, if he does sit tonight, I will bench him for the first half of the week for sure, which stinks because they're playing in Sacramento. Yep. And it's against Severino Springs and Hoglin. So those guys are all prone for blowups. It could be a high scoring series for sure. And I'd really want him to be in there, but if he's out tonight, yeah, I'd probably gonna sit him.
Yep. I'm with you as well. A couple more here. Ivan Herrera, this one stinks because he started rehabbing last week, hitting home runs, looking good. Over the weekend, started experiencing soreness in his knee again, the bone bruise situation that's kept him on the IL. He's going to get shut down for a couple days to try to let that heal and see where they can go from here. But it felt like we're going to get Ivan Herrera back early this week, and now that's obviously not going to happen. What's it going to take to drop him if you haven't dropped him yet?
Oh man. So people probably just added him right back, which is unfortunate if he was dropped. It's it's a bone bruise. So I think it just needs time. And I'm assuming it is the same knee that he hurt originally, right?
That's what I'm under the impression of. Yes.
Yeah. It'd be strange if it was the other knee. So yeah, I feel like you can't really start him either. So it's kind of just got to wait and see. And then like, if you're in a weekly league, obviously you got to wait till Sunday to do anything, but I imagine it won't be too long if it's just a little setback. It's not like he restrained a muscle or something like that. It's the bone trying to heal. So who knows, maybe he was just taking it a little too aggressively in his rehab, but I would hold and wait and see what the timeline is for Herrera.
Yep. Totally agree with you there. Kyle Harrison, should call, going to pitch out of the pen. Do with that information what you wish. Last one I got for you, Ben. The Goose. Augustin Ramirez has obviously been off to a rough start since people spent hundreds of dollars on him. Nick Fortes was activated from the IL on Sunday. He started at catcher. Augustin Ramirez was DH on Sunday. On Monday, Ramirez is out of the lineup. How are we feeling about this situation? I don't think you got any Ramirez, if I remember correctly. But say you did spend a bunch of money, and I didn't, except like I've been like 120 in one spot, so fine, whatever. If you were one of the big spenders, what's it going to take to be like, I screwed up on this one, I got to go back? Because I still believe in the skills of Ramirez, but if these Marlins are actually going to play Fortes over him, we got some big first world problems.
Well, when you have these crappy teams that have nothing to play for, you're going to not be happy most of the time in fantasy, probably. I mean, look at the Rockies. They're the prime example of not giving young players a chance. I mean, not that Ramirez is down or anything like that. It's just, it's definitely, I'd be uneasy if I had him. I'm not going to lie. And like you said, you were correct. I don't have Ramirez anywhere. So, but I guess the one positive you could take away from this is that he only had 5 strikeouts last week and 24 at bats. And I don't know what the quality of contact was, but I think I saw somewhere that he was hitting the ball pretty well, Ramirez, despite the poor fortune. So hopefully the Marlins see that and they just want to give him a night of rest to kind of reset and maybe give him because at this point, I'm sure his confidence is kind of going down as he continues to struggle over the last few games. But it's just he played the last 5 in a row, and it's just for now, it's just the one night off. So I wouldn't, there's a risk, but I wouldn't, if I had him, I'd probably start him still just because I don't know. It'd be kind of crazy if they went full Rockies on him and, set him down after a bad week.
Yeah, no, it'd be, they got to give him a good run. And like I was thinking, if he at least DHs, you can live with that. You don't, as a fantasy guy, you don't care. Just I want the at bats,
right?
So that works. But if they're gonna like watch him today, like I knew he'd get a day off here and there. Let's see if this is a trend. Is my point. Like this could be slightly concerning. Nick Kurtz has been slightly concerning, given he started hitting a little better in the last couple games in Miami. Guess we'll see how that plays out. Adam Lee in the chat here says maybe Kara was a better play off some spent, went over 250 for Ramirez. Jeffers was available in many places as he looks like a better choice as well. Hey, we talked about Caro a lot on the show. I have more Caro than I do Ramirez. I think you obviously do because you weren't on Ramirez. Caro's been playing great. It's just Ramirez has the way higher ceiling. He's got the power and the speed. Caro's going to hit for average and drive in some runs. Like, it's just pick your poison, basically. What do you want? One's a catcher two, one's a catcher one is what it comes down to. If they hit their peak, one might be a catcher zero pretty soon. So who knows? any other thoughts on the Edgar Caro? Like Jeffers is playing better. We'll see if he can do it for a full season this time.
No, well, I mean, I agree with Adam because I did grab Caro in my three main events. So that was the play. I didn't want to take the chance and miss out on or pass up Caro for the chance of not getting Augustin. And so far, I'm glad that I spent the cheaper price on Caro. And like he's batting third again tonight. I don't know if he's DHing Caro, but he's basically between third, fourth, and fifth whenever he's playing, which is where Ramirez would be too. But I mean, Caro has barely been striking out. He's hitting around 300, so everything you kind of really want for.
Yep, I totally agree. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk about Fab for the week. It's another interesting week, Ben. For those, again, I'll just preface it. If you're new to the show, on our weekly Fab recaps, we talk NFBC OCs, 12-team leagues, because they are most people play 10s and 12s in whatever format and websites they choose. Ben will obviously give his regular insight, not to mention his 15-team insight to this. I'll give my 12-team shenanigans because everyone's going to basically go for $1 or $1 million. That's the beauty of this game we play. But, Ben, first off, I just want to ask you, because this was a much lighter week than last week, how did Fab feel this week compared to last week for you? Just like because 2 weeks ago was probably one of the most stressful Fabs of my life. So how'd last week go for you, this past week?
Well, I think I was a little more aggressive because of the players available were going to go for cheaper in my leagues, like because there wasn't Kurtz and like Ramirez. I was basically going to be out on those guys. I mean, I put a couple bids in here and there, but nothing competitive. But I thought this was a good week. I felt like there's a lot of starting pitching available, at least in 15s, or a lot of starting pitching targets to go after. And not as much in the reliever market. I still tried to upgrade there, but I thought it was a fine week. I didn't think it was as crazy as the week before, but I still thought it was a good week to address some needs if you had them.
For sure. All right. And talk about needs. The most added player in an FBC OC's 12-team leagues. And not the most expensive because other people are rostered already. Let me preface that real quick before people get really excited here. But the most added player because no one was rostering him for probably good reasons. Javi Baez picked up in 197 leagues, Ben, as high as $77, as low as a single dollar. And Javi Baez has been sneakily awesome. He's hitting 309 in the season, 3 homers, 14 runs, 14 RBIs, striking out only 23% of the time, which is nuts. He entered Monday on a 6-game hitting streak with multiple hits in 3 out of the 6 games, Ben. He's got third base shortstop outfit eligibility to top it off. So where are you at on Javi Baez? Because I was telling Ryan the other night, I'm like, love him or hate him, you know, whatever PTSD we've experienced with Javi Baez, you at least have to admit you might want to ride this one out while you can.
Yeah, I agree with that. I had him in maybe one or two bid lists, but without looking at them right now, taking up time, I think it was definitely less than $10. So I was not too interested at all. I feel like his time is definitely passed. And then I pulled up Baez's Statcast, and yeah, he's just getting lucky. His XBA is 243. His barrel rate's 25th percentile. It's not even 6%. His hard hit is 14th percentile. The K rate is actually not bad for him. It's only 23%, but he's chasing a ton still, almost 40%. So yeah, I think he just got hot, and I think the playing time is safe for now at least. But you mentioned the 3-position eligibility that Baez has, which is also very appealing, but I don't know. I don't trust it. I mean, like I said, I did have a bid in, but it was very minimal dollars. So I would not have high expectations with him going forward.
Adam said he got Javi Baez last week for $2 in the Bubba and the Boom Listener League. So kudos to you. Ride it while you can, man.
Well, I hope he played him last week, because that's when all the magic happened.
Yep. We've been there before when he was an amazing guy, and he still is. He's 32 now. So we'll see what he can do, but ride it while you can. Here's a good one for you to answer, Ben, as the Justin Martinez president of the fan club. Justin Martinez already off on the IL with a shoulder injury that we don't know the full extent of. They say MRIs came back clean. We'll see how that progresses when he starts throwing again. So we were all speculating, Ben, everybody in our Discord, everywhere else. Is it Shelby Miller? Is it Ginkel? Who is it? Well, Shelby Miller gets the first save, and Shelby Miller looks horrible, and Jalen Beeks gets a save. This is all to say the second most added player this past week, Ben, is Shelby Miller for 190 leagues, as high as 123, as low as $2. So I would love your insight as a Justin Martinez guy. What were you doing in the Diamondbacks bullpen situation?
Well, I had bids in for Shelby Miller and Ginkel on one team. I ended up taking away the Ginkel bid, and I was like 50-60s for that, in that range for Miller. I still feel that. I think also yesterday it went Ginkel in like the sixth inning or seventh inning. So I said, okay, well, it seems like they're saving Miller for the ninth if they need it. And I think he blew the win over one of the last 2 days or something like that. He blew the save and then got the win or something, Miller. So it wasn't a clean outing for him at all. Looking at reliever recon, Closer Monkey, they have Miller as the head of the committee right now. And I believe, Miller's also the head of the committee per Roster Resource. But you mentioned the news on Martinez's shoulder. One of the teams I was in on Miller, I don't have Martinez, but on the other one I do, is where I got Vest. And I didn't want to go too crazy on two guys in committees and in the case of Miller, with an unknown amount of time as the closer potentially, because there was no damage to Justin Martinez's shoulder, which made me very happy since I'm heavily invested, as you just said. But it's also, okay, well, how long will Miller have the job if he's able to hold off Ginkel? So if I got him at 50, 60 bucks, I would have been happy, but I didn't want to go too crazy because, he could not even have the job and how long. So, I mean, he's been pitching great, Miller. It's just a lot of question marks, so I didn't want to go too crazy with my bids.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like, I had Miller. I lowered him down to, like, low teens in the $12. The leagues that, or the 112 team leagues I was in. So obviously that wasn't going to cut it when you started to really dig into things here, but I agree. I think it's the Miller Ginkel show. I don't know if there'll be just one guy, we'll see, but I think Miller will get plenty of run. And to your point, if Justin Martinez is out to a minimal stint, don't blow the bank on either one of these guys when all things are said and done. All right, this is another one where people were in full red alert mode earlier on Monday, and then they got the second tweet, and they calmed down. Ben Kasperius was added in 180 leagues, as high as 75 bucks, as low as a dollar, Ben. Ben Kasperius was supposed to they've been stretching him out, and he was going to get the start on Monday, basically be a two-step this week when all things came out. The idea of maybe getting 8 to 9 innings with good ratios and strikeouts, you know, the wins might be a problem, so be it. Went 3 2/3 shutouts with 5 Ks against the Pirates his last time out. Hasn't allowed a run in his last 3 outings. Like, there's a lot of positives with Kasperius. I mentioned a tweet that came out that everyone went red alert for, Ben. Kasperius wasn't going to start. It's going to be Dreyer. It wasn't going to start. And everyone's like, oh, crap. Then a couple minutes later, the news came out that Kasperius is going to be the long man. He's going to get the bulk of the innings, which actually benefits us, gives us a chance for wins. Now, if we look at this. So, to my point, long-winded way once again, he was adding 180 leagues, as high as 75, as low as a dollar. I was very interested in Ben Kasperius. Where were you at on Ben?
I had him near the top of my bid list for pitchers. I just didn't go too crazy with the bids because he hasn't been stretched out too much. But to your point, it's good that he is following the opener. And looking at his last couple of games, Kasperius, so the most he went 3 2/3 in his last game against the Pirates, and he got the win. And then against the Rangers, he got a win in an inning and 2/3. And then against the Rockies, he got 3 innings and got the win in that game as well. So, yeah, it's kind of like a Brant Herder situation from last year, but on a much better team. So and also with the Marlins today, I'm sure the Dodgers will get out to an early lead. Well, I mean, it is Sandy going, so maybe Sandy gets his stuff together and actually pitches well this time around. But based on how it went last time, I think that Kasperius could be given a lead, and there's a good chance he gets a win. And then on the weekend might be a little bit tougher, but if he's the follower against the Diamondbacks, that's definitely much more appealing as well. So I don't know. With the Dodgers, they have a lot going on with their rotation. So there's some uncertainty with, I mean, not only performance, but how long will Kasperius be in the rotation? Because right now they could have Yamamoto, Sasaki, May, Gonsolin as their 4. And then if they want to go with 5, they just have Kasperius, or they just have like Landon Knack, for example. So, But for now, he's definitely a good streaming target, at least for the weakest berries. It's just I'm not sure how long he'll be around.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I was in on him because I figured he'll stream for this week. They need pitching so bad. They should keep him around. There's, to your point, how long will they? There's a lot of that could be thrown into the mix, but I'm willing to take those chances when it comes to Mr. Kasperius this week, and we'll see if it was good or a bad thing. Next most added player here, and he's one of the most expensive players this week in OCs, is Tony Gonsolin. Picked up in 174 leagues, as high as 251, as low as a dollar. Tony G made his return to the mound after missing all of 2024 with Tommy John surgery. Hadn't pitched since 2023, obviously. Six innings, three earned, nine Ks without a walk against the Marlins. That was obviously a positive. Where were we at in Tony Gonsolin? Because I definitely was very interested, if available, because there's a lot of decent streams this week, but this is a guy you could like pencil in most weeks potentially.
Exactly. Yeah. He was at the top, I think, of all my starting pitching bid lists. And I think he was available in all of them as well. Cause I don't know if he was drafted in all my, in my four fab leagues or however many I had. I did take Gonsolin in the listener league because that was so early in the year and it seemed like he was gonna make the Dodgers rotation at that point, but unfortunately I had to cut him. So yeah, but I think I said in the Discord today that I kind of got a little scared of him being a repeat of Dustin May from a couple years ago, because May was a massive fab pickup. Well, May's always hurt, but then when he came around this one time, I bid heavily on May and he ended up being terrible. Like he was coming back from injury and he just didn't have his command, or I forget what the reasoning was why he struggled. But I mean, and also too with Gonsolin, yeah, he had a great first start back, but it was against the Marlins and now he's facing them again. So I get I did have the desire to go after him for this week for sure. And it's in the Dodgers, and he does have a good career track record, Gonsolin. The only thing though is that he's never been a big strikeout pitcher, more of like a command guy. And even though he had 3 years of three out of 4 years of sub four ERAs, it was only one year with over 100 innings. And so he's a limited track record. But the Dodgers are appealing. It's just, I didn't think he was as certain of say Grayson Rodriguez was healthy and then he's available. I think Gonsolin is not nearly at that level of pitcher as like Grayson Rodriguez would be. So it's, yeah, he could succeed, but there's definitely a chance that he has some, it's a bumpy road going forward as he comes back from injury.
Yeah. No, that's a very, very valid point on this one. That's why I liked him a lot. I got him where I was more aggressive where I needed pitching. Like, okay, I'll take the bumpy road, see where it goes. Definitely more interested in 15s and 12s because in 15s it's hard to find a guy that might actually stick type situation. So, yeah, I'm all aboard. And Uncle Ted, why would a piggyback for Kasperius suck today? He actually has a chance for a win now where he didn't have it before. That makes no sense. No sense at all. And Christopher, thanks for the kind words. Hey, guys, thanks for all you do. Love it here. Yeah, Ted, you've got some fun takes once in a while, but that one's out there. That's for the birds, my friend.
He needs the volume because of how he drafts his teams.
Oh, that you're probably right. Probably right.
Yeah, he wants those six innings.
Yeah, I'll take the four and a win right now.
Yeah.
Gunnar Hoglund picked up the hog. I know it's called Hoglund. I've been told by many people, very well aware of that, folks. If you don't understand my jokes by now, I apologize, but we are 763 episodes into this one. So this is what comes with the territory here. The hog picked up in 161 leagues as high as 143, which that was a bit excessive in my opinion, as low as a dollar, but very excited with what the hog did in his opener. I was very pumped for him before. I wrote him up like 3 weeks ago in Baseball HQ saying he should be up soon to make an impact with his team. And basically what we saw in the minors with the control metrics carried over again, Marlins, but it carried over, which was great to see. So I'm optimistic on, you know, he'll have his bumps in the road, Ben, but this might be a guy that could stick for a little while.
There's that chance. I was interested in adding the hog myself, but I was in the same, I don't know, I was like in the teens, really 20s or teens. I just, because he's in Sacramento, and who knows how it's going to be there once the weather gets hotter. He does have good minor league numbers for sure. And he had a great first start. So I get the appeal. It's just, it's a rookie. So I feel like, well, you know, by now I'm hesitant sometimes to go all out with these guys, But when you have 7 Ks, well, I think too, ironically enough, it was against the Marlins. Yep. 7 Ks, no walks, and 6 innings. But I don't, who's he facing this time around? I think it's a little bit tougher of a matchup.
Seattle.
Yeah,
one of the best offenses in baseball. So yes,
and they're in Sacramento, so it could be a little dicey there for sure. But mm-hmm. I like I said, I was in on him. Just I wasn't too aggressive because of the uncertainty. And do you think his roster spot is fine for now? Who is he filling in for?
It should be. He took JT Ginn's. He went on the IL.
Oh yeah, he got hurt. Yeah.
So it's one of the, if he pitches good enough, Ginn just goes back. I think Ginn's better than some of the other pitchers they have, because Osvaldo Beto has not been impressive. Like, he's been suitable, but not impressive. So if, like, the Hog pitches well and Ginn comes back, like, there's a world where Beto should be just gone, in theory. We'll have to see if that's what the A's do. That's the fantasy brain thinking out loud. But, yes, to your point, his spot should be okay. But, again, we talked about these teams earlier and every show of should they do what they really do, two different things. All right, A.J. Smith-Shawver's back and getting picked up first two-step this week. Picked up in 134 leagues, as high as $79, as low as a buck. A.J. was, you know, started out the season, people were pretty pumped on the situation, didn't pan out, goes to AAA, gets recalled, was throwing well in Coors, 5 1/3 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 Ks, got hit by a comebacker, taken out of the game. But he's back for his two-step this week, Ben. And I will say this much, he has struck out 19 over his last 15 innings pitched. So strikeouts are there. It's just he hasn't gone deep in the game. So what's your thoughts on A.J. Smith-Shawver?
I may have had him over Hoglan in my bid list, actually. Or Hoglan. Is it Hoglan? What did we say it was?
It's Hoglan, like a hoagie.
Yeah, okay. That's easy to remember. Hoglan. Yeah, I actually had Shawver ahead of Hoglan. Better team. And then also, well, in my mind, it's a better team. The Braves have been struggling, but the two-step was nice. You get Cincinnati on the – well, Cincinnati's on the road, and then in Pittsburgh. So that – I was prioritizing the immediate starts, I think, when I had my bid list organized. So I like that. And, yeah, to your point, the Ks have been there for Smith-Shawver. The only issue is that on the year he has 9 walks, 19 innings, which is not good. That's helping his whip be almost 1.7. It's 1.68 on the year, only 19 innings for Smith-Shawver. So not terrible, but – yeah, his last game, 5 Ks, 1 walk, and then 7 Ks, 2 walks before that. So, yeah, I was fine going after Smith-Shawver. Hopefully he does stick around. I mean, I feel like 4 starts is kind of low. Yeah, there's a big gap between the Tampa Bay and the Colorado start for him. So I don't know if he must have got sent down or something. But, yeah, I definitely liked him. And like I said, I liked him more than the Hogue or the Hoagie. We call him the Hoagie, I guess. That kind of works.
A Hoagie could work as well. Yeah. Happy Gilmore, nothing like a cold cut combo.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like Smith-Shawver. The win potential should be there as long as he, to your point, though, as long as he goes deep enough in the games.
Yeah. Cause yeah, I was actually, the more I dug into him over the weekend, cause I just kind of wrote him off. Like, I love the potential in draft season. You know, I talked to Chris Clegg. We did the NL prospects, all that kind of stuff. And he was the guy that you wanted out of the group. And hey, Bryce Elder's throwing well too. So I'm going to like keep in mind, like, as much as we make fun of him, he's actually might be – it's amazing when young pitchers get more time, they might develop into something, and these guys are kind of showing it. But Smith-Shawver I liked a lot, but it felt like just the buzz, like he's not doing enough, he's not good enough, blah, blah, blah. Got sent back to AAA. Then I looked at his numbers, and I'm like, they're not that bad. Like, they're really not. He just needs that depth to go deep into the games like we're talking about, see where that pans out to. Luis Angel Acuna picked up in 102 leagues, as high as 101, as low as a dollar. I'm loving this a lot, because he was one of my most rostered players this offseason, and especially in DCs. He's starting to get the playing time, Ben. If you look at the Mets, you know, roster resource page over the last 7 games, Acuna's played 4 of 6. So he's starting to get the regular reps between second base and third base. Like 4 of 6 is actually an improvement. So we'll go that direction. And when you're looking at Acuna on the season, 298, no homers, which stinks, with 14 runs, 8 stolen bases. So he's helping you a ton in 3 categories. I believe there's more power here, Ben. Like, if you just, you know, he does not have a barrel yet this season, which is disappointing. But we've seen this guy, like, showcase power in the minors. We saw him showcase power at the Dominican League, which I know is a different level. I get it. But the skills are there. I'll still take the average, the steals, and the runs where you can get them. So where were you at on Luis Angel Acuna, who is second base, third base eligible as well?
This one stings. He's been gone in the main events in the 15s, unfortunately. And I think I drafted him on two of three main events just to see what would happen. But unfortunately, they gave Beatty too much time. The Mets did. And I had to drop Acuna for other needs. So I never got back in on my Fab leagues. I do have him in a DC, which you always will take these late round picks producing in DCs, of course. So I'm happy with that. But yeah, seeing the he's first percentile in barrel rate, to your point, with the zero. But I looked up his minor league stats. He's had double digits a couple times. I mean, granted, one was A ball, the other one was high A and double A across that other year when he had 11. But yeah, I like Acuna. It's just, he's definitely, he feels like a rabbit. So like a maybe Nico Horner type. I don't know how he would compare to Nico over a full year. The other thing that stinks though is that Acuna bats ninth or eighth, which hurts the plate appearances. But he is being very aggressive on the base pass. Like you said, he got 8 steals. So I kind of wish I had him somewhere in one of my main events still, but at least I have him in that DC.
Yeah, it's weird with him because even in 12s, it's the inconsistency of playing time. It's getting better. It's still tough to like start him religiously, just knowing you probably have another middle infielder corner option that's going to play every game. I guess it just comes down to the roster construction. Do I need steals? What do I need? Because he does fit the mold. Like, there's a tool there. In 15s, he feels like just an auto. He's playing weekly for you pretty much, and you're rolling with it. So just something for the listeners to pander with that one or ponder with that one. All right, Dalton Varsho picked up in 96 leagues, as high as 132, as low as a dollar. Varsho missed most of the season with a shoulder injury, trying to get back to throwing, returned this past week, played 5 games, missed Sunday with a lower back tightness, but he has 2 home runs, a steal with a 214 average, 41% K rate in that small sample, Ben. So he was a very popular ad, and I get it, because when healthy, he's going to play every single day and be usually quite productive. So where were you on Dalton Varsho this week, if available? 15 is probably not as available as he could have been, but widely available in 12s.
Yeah, I don't think he was available for me to add anywhere, because I think he was drafted in most spots, and then people added him when it seemed like he was ready to come back. So I wasn't in on him, but so far, 2 homers and a steal and 14 at-bats, that's awesome. But, of course, it's coming with his poor average of 214. So, he's basically playing full-time for our show. So I think, he's got the 2020 upside. It's just if you can handle the batting average drain, then go for it. But with the way averages are overall in the majors, it's you can probably afford to have at least one. But if you have a couple guys that already have low averages, I would just be careful with Varsho because he could really hurt you there.
Yep, yep. Would you rather have Tyler O'Neill or Dalton Varsho?
O'Neill's still hurt, right?
Say they're both healthy. Who would you rather have?
I think, well, going into the year, I had O'Neill higher, so I'd probably stick with that.
Yeah.
I go with the better power, and O'Neill does have some speed, and I think his average floor is a little bit higher.
Yeah, because just the O'Neill chatter and the Discord's been fun because he's just annoying people on a yearly tradition right now. All right, the Orioles did it. They called up Coby Mayo over the weekend, picked up in 95 leagues, as high as 144, as low as a dollar. Coby Mayo did not start the first game. Pinch hit, came off the bench, got the start on Sunday, went 0-for-4 with a walk. So far he's 0-for-5 with a walk, which, great. Where are we at on your thoughts on Coby Mayo? I literally did not put a bid in on him. I understand the skill set's pretty good. I just don't trust the Orioles at all.
I think I said in the Discord, I didn't even know he was getting called up. I completely missed the announcement. sometimes you're just busy on the weekend, I guess, or just not paying attention to everything. But yeah, your concerns are valid, and I probably would have had the same ones because he's filling in for, you said it was
he's playing
Westberg, yep. Right? Yeah, and I don't think he's going to be gone because we talked about Westberg when he got hurt, and I don't think we thought it was going to be that long we were saying that they didn't call it Mayo, so we didn't think it was going to be that bad. But
well, maybe Westberg, it might be. On Sunday, Westberg was taking infield and starting to run bases. So I don't see it being much longer.
All right. So,
it's weird.
If Westberg comes back, then they're not going to sit O'Hearn because he's been playing.
No, O'Hearn's on fire.
Yeah. So I guess Mayo goes right back down. So it's it's probably a rental. I mean, if for fantasy at least, and also I guess for the Orioles. I wouldn't. If I knew he was there, I would probably wouldn't have even bid that high or bid that much on him, probably.
I didn't even put a bid in. If I did, it would have been very small. We'll talk about Hyesung Kim eventually. He's in that similar boat with me. But before we get to that, we'll talk Miguel Vargas, who I'd rather have spent money on than Coby Mayo. Vargas was picked up in 91 leagues as high as $55, as low as a buck. He's third base outfield eligible throughout the NFBC formats. And this is a guy that, again, I make the joke, shocker, young players get regular at-bats. Let's see what happens. Varsho's 25 years old, and he's starting to get going here since April 20th, about a two-week sample. Vargas is hitting 348 with two home runs, six RBIs, only striking out 11.3% of the time, which is very impressive to me from this young ball player. If you go even deeper here, you know, the quality of contact metrics are less than be desired, but we're seeing a guy maybe figuring things out, and I'd much rather take a chance on him playing every day than over Coby Mayo.
Yes, I actually had bids in for Miguel Vargas. Even though his stat cast looks pretty poor overall in the year, at least in terms of the batted ball quality, there's a lot of blue there. He does have pretty good plate discipline metrics, which makes sense because I think he was a pretty good average hitter in the minors when he was with the Dodgers.
Yep.
But yeah, one thing I was worried about too with Pitt going too crazy on Vargas was that you're missing the hot streak because it's been 2 weeks of almost 350. I mean, but it is sustainable though, because he's only struck out a total of 9 times in the last 3 weeks. And so that'll help play with the average for sure. He had a little bit of a strikeout issue to start the year, but it seems like he's kind of fixed that for now. And with the White Sox, there's not going to be a lot of guys who push him down the lineup. He's been batting. He's at now second, which is a great spot. I mean, look at Edgar Caro, who I love. He's been batting third, fourth, fifth, even though it's a bad team. It's still a lot of plate appearances. So yeah, I like Vargas. He could finally be breaking out, but just like I said, with the underlying skills, they aren't really there right now. So it could just be a hot streak, and he could kind of go back to being pretty underwhelming if he doesn't change something.
Yeah, totally with you there. A couple of little bits of news have come out. Winker to the IL with the oblique injury. Brett Beatty recalled, that just been made official. The Mariners lineup was just released. No Randy in the lineup. So we'll have to wait some more info on that as things get cooking. But I'd probably sit Randy Rosarena if you have time before listening to the show. You probably won't, but
I'll work on that right now.
Andy Pajes was added in 89 leagues. We talked about him a ton last week. The one thing that really will make me angry, we're going to move on from him, but this is Dave Roberts. One of the many reasons I hate Dave Roberts, besides the blue and the white that he wears, is his managerial decisions just anger me to no end. We talked about it last week, Ben. Pajes is actually running now. We like joked about it, like text that night. He stole another base. Like he's running. So on Sunday, after he gets a hit, they pinch ran Kim to steal a base. I was like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? So just something to monitor with the stupidity that takes place in that dugout. Yeah, Pajes, great player. Even when he's producing, the Dodgers are trying to find a way to slow him down, which is just awesome. All right, let's go to Kyle Stowers, though. Picked up in 84 leagues, as high as 187, as low as 27. One of the lowest min bids, or the highest min bids of the entire week, folks. That was interesting to see out of all the players. It was Kyle Stowers that did this. Stowers is a guy, Ben, that I've been mentioning on Fab shows, Fab columns, like deep league, deep league, deep league. And then he started picking it up. He had two double dong games this past week. He has a 4-game hitting streak coming into the weekend, 7 of his last 8 games, hitting 321 on the year with 6 homers, 25 RBIs, 18 runs, and 2 stolen bases, putting up some big boy numbers. Bet the Orioles would like to have him over Heston Kjerstad right about now. Just throwing that out there. What's your thoughts on the Stowers deal? Because, yeah, he's definitely 12-team viable now. And I've been loving the early 15 shares I have.
I've missed out on this one, unfortunately. He's been gone 15 Stowers. It's just wasn't he hurt at one point, I think, to start the season or something like that?
I know he wasn't hitting. I don't know if he was hurt, but I know the struggles were real in that dugout.
Yeah, looking at the weekly at-bats seem like he's been healthy. So, yeah, I mean, when you have a week with 5 runs, 4 homers, 10 RBIs, it's really going to change your season outlook. I mean, he did have a really good week 3. He had 5 runs, 6 RBIs, and hit 391 that week. But it looks legit. So I talked about how bad the stat cast for Miguel Vargas looked. I look at Kyle Stowers, there's a lot of red in the quality of contact metrics. So it seems legit right now. The average of 321 is very surprising. I mean, his XBA is 307. So, but the thing with Stowers is, like, looking at his homers, he hasn't been pulling them. They've been set right of center to left field. He actually has one down the left field line, which is kind of impressive. He's not really pulling his homers. So is that going to sustain, especially in a big park like Miami? Bad lineup, of course, but yeah, I guess ride the hot hand in 12s. And in 15s, I'm not sure if he's platooning right now. That's always been kind of a concern. Yeah, I mean, if he's playing this well, they're not going to platoon him.
Yeah,
yeah, he's just bad. Sunday and today he's started versus lefties.
He's a full-time dude right now.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, Jesus Sanchez is sitting. Let's put it that way.
Jeez. Is he? It looks like he's betting for Sanchez.
Well, he sat on Sunday, I think. So, like,
he was injured.
And his production sucks right now. But yes,
yeah. So Saros, he's been legit so far. So I don't know if he can keep it up, but so far so good.
Yep, big fan of what Stowers is doing. Hopefully, I'll take 80% of it the rest of the way, 75% the rest of the way. I'll be very happy. You mentioned the name Ryan O'Hurd earlier, and he appears. So I want to discuss him again. Picked up in 80 leagues, as high as $90, as low as a buck. Picked him up 2 weeks ago in 12s and been riding that wave on the season, 306, seven homers. But what's more, even more impressive is most of that damage has taken place over like the last 3 weeks. Since April 13th, Ryan O'Hurd is hitting .333. Six homers, 13 RBIs and a stolen base, 18% K rate. Again, who knows how long this will last for Ben, but it's pretty dang legit. It's cutting into Ryan Mountcastle's skill, like playing time. And O'Hearn, like he's starting versus O'Hearn's not a platoon bat right now, is my point, which is very impressive.
Yeah, I looked at their lineup. He did start Sunday or Saturday versus a lefty and he batted fifth. He only went down one spot. Very impressive. And O'Hearn's statcast is even better than Stowers. A lot more red across the different sliders. It's just, I'm skeptical that he'll keep it up, but for now, yeah. I mean, it should be a good lineup. The Orioles, and at least he's a lefty, so the less far wall the not as far wall, I guess, is the better way to put it. And left shouldn't affect him too much in Camden, but yeah. I mean, last 2 years, he had 15 homers and 14 homers. He's already halfway there and like 400, 300 fewer plate appearances than those last two seasons. So I don't think he's suddenly going to be like a 30-homer hitter, O'Hearn. But just play him for now, and then I'm sure there's going to be a cold spell at some point.
Yep. Be ready to drop when necessary, as usual, with Ryan O'Hearn and these type of guys. But that's the beauty of picking him up in season. Couple more to get to. Just wanted to bring back up Matt Shaw. Talked about him on Thursday and in the article this week. And 79 people added him this past week for as high as 88, as low as a buck. You know, the hype train was real with Matt Shaw entering the season. I've dropped most of my Matt. I even dropped one this past week just because I needed. Like, I want to stash him. I get it. I couldn't type situation. Since going back to AAA over 13 games, .277 average, one home run, two steals, 11 walks over that time. The skills are starting to slowly get better and better with Matt Shaw. So I get the stash situation. You have any inclination or desire to stash a Matt Shaw?
There was one bid across my four fab leagues where I did have Shaw in there. If I needed a corner more, I would have been a little more, I would have had him on a more fab list for my other teams, but I do have him in my home keeper league. He's in my NA spot, which is for like when people are in the minors. So I've held on to him there. So hopefully he's back up soon, but it sounds like he will be. And yeah, I think I wouldn't have gone $88 for him because nothing's guaranteed. But if you could get a cheap Matt Shaw last week, I definitely like that as a stash.
Yep, with you as well. Just a couple more. I'm going to cherry pick here. I'm going to actually move to the max bids of the week. Lou Bob was available in 10C, went for $718. Ben, too high or too low?
Lou Bob, how much was it?
Went for $718.
You can never spend that much on one player.
No.
That must have been where Colette dropped. That's the perfect
answer, actually. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine. Yeah, you can never spend $300 on a player, I've learned. It's too much.
Speaking of which, Emilio Pagan was available in one league and picked up for $333. So there you go. Let's talk about this. Jackson Holliday. I literally had him being a drop on Sunday before the double dong game. I'm like, okay, I'm going to wait another week to see if it's time to drop him. Because if you look at Matt, Jackson Holliday here, it's ugly, Ben, for multiple reasons, actually. First, I'm going to throw this out here for Mr. Holliday. He sits first every lefty. So he starts first, so he's in a full platoon, strong side, but full platoon for Jackson Holliday. On the season, he's hitting .273, which is good. Four homers because two yesterday. So entering yesterday, two home runs on the year. Entering yesterday, let's put it this way, two homers, nine runs, nine RBIs, and two steals. So not really a ringing endorsement for productivity from a starting second baseman. So I almost had him dropped took him off. I'm okay, let's see if this is figuring it out. We'll see. He was picked up in 9 leagues yesterday, Ben, 9 OCs, as high as 295, as low as 56. More than anything, I just want to know, what's your thoughts on Jackson Holliday? Because like I said, I was ready to drop. I'm coming back. Somebody spent 295 on him, so they really liked him. Where are you at on this guy? Because I wanted to emphasize, before yesterday, 2 home runs, 9 runs, and 9 RBIs. Not a lot.
Well, I've been kind of disconnected from him because I don't have Holliday on any of my teams. So much for him wanting to steal, what was it, like 30 bases or something he said? Yeah. He wanted to, like, I mean, with a 340 on base, I'm sure you've had plenty of opportunities to steal more than 2 bases. His sprint speed's 89th percentile, which is very good, of course. But, he's hitting like 6, which actually isn't terrible. But I hope the Orioles are doing the right thing by platooning him against lefties, because he's only 21. You don't want him to become not be able to hit them eventually. Because look what happens to Luis Garcia. I mean, he's 4 years older, and he still has issues because they don't let him play and face lefties full time. But yeah, 295. Let's see the distribution. 295, 220. I would have been okay with under 100. There were 3 bids that won him for under 100. Yeah. But yeah, it's the name plus the 2 homers on Fab Day. That's why that happened. Classic formula for overbidding.
Yep, 100%. Marcus Semien was picked up in 3 leagues, as high as 251, as low as 51. Another guy I'm kind of out on, but I guess if you believe in upside, just the whole team is a mess in Texas. Not to mention Semien just might be hitting that wall, Ben. Where would your bids have been roughly if you were even interested in Semien? Like, I just find it hard to get in. I get the appeal, starts every day, we know who he is, blah, blah, blah. It's still tough for me to get excited for Marcus Semien knowing what's going on right now. He just doesn't play very well.
So on the spot, I would say like 70s is what I would bid on him, maybe in a 15. Okay. So I don't know.
I want to ask you, since
he looks really bad to me, and it's just, I'll say that, like, I think he could be done, bad. But yeah,
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm like, I don't even know if I would have bid on him. Like, and that feels wrong knowing he's, you know, a starting second baseman for a team that I think should be better. I just don't think he's any good. Devin Williams, want to get your thoughts here. He was dropped in 4 leagues, so picked up in 4 this week, for as high as 237, as low as 168. Glad I wasn't in those leagues, because I obviously kept him, so he wasn't available. This is where OCs get very frustrating, Ben. That guy should never have been on a waiver wire, because we know he's going to close games again for the Yankees. I want to get your thought, though, because I think he had 3 outings last week. I believe they were all clean. I watched one of them. The airbender looked a little better. Things were looking better. What are you hearing? What are you thinking? As a Yankees fan, you've watched, you've probably heard more stuff than I have about them with Devin Williams maybe coming back into the role.
I haven't heard anything like specifically about a timeline, but yeah, he only had 1 walk in those 3 innings and he had 3 strikeouts. So he looks like he's getting back on track already, which is great as a Yankee fan. And I think I did move Williams back into my lineup in my DC this week, just because, I mean, nothing's been announced yet, but I could see him getting a save shot some point this week. And now that he's pitched pretty well recently. So yeah, I agree with you. He never should have been dropped, and not even in a 12. I mean, or like a 10. He was a top 3 closer. I think I had Williams as my RP1, which is a mistake right now. Luckily, I only got him on 1 team. But yeah, he's too good of a track record of being very good. And it's kind of weird that he's been so good with how he pitches, this fastball changeup, and he doesn't even throw that hard. But it's worked, so hopefully it's I mean, we look at it too. He has like a 50% strand rate, roughly, it looks like, or less than that. So he's definitely been unlucky, but the whip hasn't been good. The walks have been the most concerning part, probably 8 and 11 innings. But like I said, 1 in the last 3. So I think he's getting close to being back in the closer role.
Yeah, I think he's getting back real soon. Like, I originally thought it was a couple weeks back. I think we see him pretty quick, but I'm also very optimistic because I need him to close games. So we'll see, but I like what we're seeing for sure with Mr. Devin Williams. Other than that, like, someone dropped Luis Garcia Jr., someone dropped Ryan Walker. Giolito's one we didn't really talk. I must have skipped over him somehow, or we just didn't get to him yet. I don't know. Giolito was picked up in 166 leagues, as high as 188, as low as $1. I must have just skipped over him on accident. Where are we at on Giolito? Because I picked him up a lot of places last week, put a few bids in this week. I'm optimistic. I know he's coming off an injury. Things can get wonky, but I was intrigued.
Oh, I was too. He's only available in one of my 15s, I believe, because I think people had drafted him, and they were able to add him back ahead of time. I had him, I think, around my bid for Gonsolin in that team, which was, I think, like the 50s or the 60s. And I had to like remind myself that he's actually been bad, Giolito, the last 2 years. He had, that he's been healthy. He had a 4.9 ERA in 2022 with a 1.44 whip. And then the next year in 2023, he had a 4.6 ERA with a 1.31 whip. So the idea of Giolito is nice, but what is he going to be the 2021-2020 Giolito when he was like 3.5 with a 1 whip? I doubt that at this point. He's 30. He's came off a big injury. So, but he has potential to be good still. It's just definitely not a guarantee. And I would not have spent 188 on him. I hit the wrong button. What else was there? There was one. Actually, no, that's a big outlier. So people were actually in my range. There's a lot in the OCs below $70. Most of them are below 70, okay. Actually. So actually good job by the OC bidders. I'm impressed.
That's surprising. That's surprising for us. Like you phrase it properly for the OC bidders. That is very surprising, all things considered. Yes. I was in the like low 20s range for my
G. That makes sense. Yeah. 15 tougher to come by, and I was definitely outbid on him. He went pretty high.
Yeah, and 15s, yeah, I'm with you. That's why I like Gonsolin as well. I could see the at least the appeal to spin crazy, because like I'll just flip over to this real quick, and then we'll talk about our ads after this. So if you want to get your ads pulled up, go for it. Okay. But just for people's references, for main events, most added player was Hoagland in 57 leagues for as high as 169. Zach Agnes, we didn't even talk about him. We don't need to talk about him. Picked up in 49 leagues as high as 117. But like Gonsolin went as high as 313, which says a lot. Baez went as high as 300. In those formats, Jackson Holiday was available in one league for 323. There you go. O'Neill was available in five leagues as high as 522. But I was looking for Giolito. Giolito was high as 131. So people were kind of tempered down in that as well.
Yeah, I had not looked at the main event overall bidding yet. I hadn't looked at Waxman's report, but that I'm pretty stunned by how crazy it was. Jeez.
Yeah, it was very aggressive for a main event style. And also, just looking at some of the guys that were available, you don't see that very often in this. I am laughing just because, like, I see Mike Yastrzemski as high as 109, as low as 53. Like, I love Yaz. I've been promoting Yaz pretty much every week for a while now. But you should have jumped on that. You can't panic bid on Yaz. Like, you get everything you're about to get right about now and deserve it. I'm just going to say that nicely, because he might still be somewhat productive, but the better days are probably behind. So the $2 Yazes that you had, where you reap the benefits, great. $100, like even $50 plus is pretty rich for my blood when it comes to Yaz. So,
I mean, if it makes those people feel better, I started the Yaz over Jason Dominguez in my DC. But
oh, I'm with you. Dominguez sitting again. Like, I almost, yeah. We need to get. I wanted to get to our ads here in a minute because we're not in a hurry. But you know what I mean. I did want. I almost asked you again. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, Grisham's playing two out of three games. Somehow Dominguez plays a couple. Grisham's leading off and playing better. Dominguez seems like the bottom of the order. I don't get it at all. I know Grisham's swinging well, but I don't get it, Ben.
Well, this is the Yankees. They love old washed up players that do well for them for a short period of time. Look at Matt Carpenter. He's the one that stands out the most. Good, I mean, he was great when they had him, but like that was the hottest hot streak of all time. Every year you can find people. I can't think of them right now, but this is
Goldie hitting like 320 with like no power. That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah, you don't want no homers from your four hitter, but yeah, it's I don't know. They're definitely hurting Dominguez's development because he's atrocious versus lefties. Like he cannot hit right handed at all. It is bad. I almost want him to stop batting right handed because I think he's like under 100 on the season batting right handed.
Probably it's a good bad. Call. Some of these you don't see as many switch hitters anymore for a reason, I think, and a lot of guys eventually stop as they get older. Maybe it's time to stop him now. Be a good call.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, I sat him in my one DC Dominguez, and I have him in my home keeper league. That's a 12 teamer. I don't want to drop him because of the keeper prospects with him, but I haven't been playing him. Luckily, I have four other competent outfielders. It's a four outfitter league with one utility. I have Ohtani, and then my other four are good enough, so I don't have to play Dominguez. Luckily, I can just sit him on my bench. But yeah, he's not playing a lot in that league for sure.
Just want to drop this real quick. Uncle Ted, his crew spent 127 on Brandon Marsh this week, which was the max bid on Brandon Marsh in the main event. The next runner up was $19. Then went $69. Runner up 11 was the next highest bid. So Uncle Ted's crew setting the curve on the Brandon Marsh situation.
He wasn't Marsh not platooning.
He wasn't when he was playing. So like I get it to an extent, but yeah.
He's 6-46 with one homer and no steals. Definitely been a rough start. Yeah, probably would have been like in the 50s, probably, maybe. Yeah. If that, I don't know. It's hard to say on the spot what I would go for one of these guys.
And a lot of people, like I said, the next highest was $69. So
yeah,
who knows? But all right, let's talk about your ad drops for the week.
All right, main event, New Jersey main event. This is the it's the bad side of the unicorn. So I added Sean Burke, dropped Chad Patrick, 18-18. This team is struggling very badly. I need some help. And this one, so your former co-host would appreciate this, I think. I added Eric Lauer. I dropped Dean Kramer, 8-0. Yeah, I thought of it eventually. Like, oh, yeah, this is Toby's guy.
Toby was all about Lauer.
So he wasn't confirmed to start, Lauer, but I want to see now that we're talking about it. He's tentative for tomorrow and then in Seattle. So tomorrow's versus the Angels, and then he's getting the Mariners on Sunday potentially. So I figured I didn't play him everywhere, but I think I started him in this league. So give it a shot. And then I added Evan Carter here, dropped Adele Amador 4-1. So hopefully that one is a pretty fruitful add if Carter gets some good playing time. Main event two, I added Cave Povich. So I dropped Edgar Caro here. This is because I have Keibert Ruiz and I drafted Stevenson. So Ruiz is just established Caro. So I figured just drop Caro and stay pat with Stevenson and Ruiz. So Caro was valuable. A couple weeks I had him here, 24-17. Then I added Dodgers Max Muncy, dropped Matt Wallner, 12-0. And then I added Phil Maton, dropped Seth Halverson, 4-0. Just in case Helsley has something wrong. I only have 6 saves on that main event. It's actually rising up, my second main event. It's like in the 80s now, but it might be a punt closer pretty soon. And then main event 3, the one that moved back to the first, I got J.P. Crawford. I dropped Wallner here, 14-12. Crawford's been on fire. Then I also added Eric Lauer again, 8-0, dropped Dylan Dingler. So I dropped Dingler. I got Stevenson back, and I have Caro here. So I'm going with those guys. I did not start Lauer here. It's more like a wait and see on this one. And then in the listener league for you and Ryan, what did I do here? Got Sean Burke, dropped Dean Kramer, 12-0. Tyler Anderson dropped Mitchell Parker, 6-0. Eli White dropped Adele Amador, 6-0. And then I got, he's back, our Prince Rowdy Tellez dropped Matt Mervis, 2-0.
It's beautiful. Yeah, Matt Mervis, that was fun for like a week. Good Lord.
I kept playing him too. Like, I remember you were always saying how bad he was, and it's just like he was hitting homers those 2 weeks though. But he had a homer.
I'm with you. In 15s, I still kind of kept throwing him out there, and this was annoying.
I think Rowdy was my only add though, because there was no one available at first base.
Yeah, I think I'm
playing Muncy at my corner this week because of the 4 games against all righties or whatever. But yeah, it's rough if you don't have a good first baseman.
Yep, for sure. All righty. First OC, I mentioned in the Discord, I either had a lot of like unopposed bids or I had a handful of unicorns this week. So it was very interesting. First OC, you're going to see a trend. I got a lot of Zach DiCenzo this week. I've been big on the guy. Should have jumped on him earlier. I'm a believer if he continues to get the playing time that we're going to see big things ahead. Got him for $22 with no runner-up bid. Dropped Jose Caballero. Got the Hog, Gunnar Hoglund. Dropped JP Sears, 12-3. Added Miguel Vargas, dropped Joe Adele, 4-4, the unicorn. I want to highlight this real quick because I was big on Adele entering the season, but the production was already bad. The bigger problem, Joe Adele is starting to lose playing time, folks. He's only played 3 out of the last 6 games. He sat versus the only lefty they faced over the last 6 games and 2 righties over this stretch. That is heavily concerning to what I want to see. This is without Mike Trout, folks. Joe Adele's missing playing time. He's hitting .176 with 2 homers and a steal. Like especially in the 12, we parted ways this past week. In my Beat Bubba OC, I picked the Hog, dropped Cade Povich 12-4. And Povich had a 2-step this week. I just wasn't going to use him when I started looking at my roster there. He wasn't going to pitch over the guys I had in there. So we made a move to add some depth with the Hog. Then I picked up Luis Urias of the Sacramento Athletics until Zach Geloff is back. He's playing second base and crushing it. Dropped Jose Caballero, 6-6. So another unicorn on that one. 250 standalone. Added Tony Gonsolin. Dropped Joe Adele, 43-15. Added Zach DiCenzo, dropped CES 31-0. That's good. Added Luis Urias, dropped Jesus Sanchez 8-0. I've already learned that this standalone league, a lot of empty runner-up bids so far this year. It's really early. Usually it's a past the All-Star break 12-team thing. It's early in that one. And then the Vegas standalone with most of the listeners from Bubba and the Bloom got the Hog 22-6. Thought I had to bid more there to get my guy. Got Luis Urias, dropped Osvaldo Beto 9-3. And then it was down the waterfall, but I'll take it for now. I got Eli White, dropped Mitchell Parker 2-0. Eli White has been stupid good out of like nowhere, Ben. So I'll just ride that wave while we can type situation and see where things go. Listener League, Bowman the Bloom Listener League, added Eli White, dropped the Metrosario 17-0. Literally only half the league had runner-up bids. This was pretty bad. Added Ryan Nelson, dropped Logan Allen 3-0. I got a lot of late waterfall Ryan Nelsons this week. We'll see how that goes for super cheap. And my OLAC got Ben Kasperius, dropped Tinoco 27-17, got Luis Urias. This is where I dropped Matt Shaw 16-14, so that's pretty close. I needed a player ASAP to play, so unfortunately Shaw had to be the odd man out in that one. Well, all right, my friend. Another week in the books. Any final thoughts?
No, still pretty good week of Fab. I'm looking forward to looking at Waxman's report now after seeing some of those main event prices and listening to his pod. I want to see what his reaction was to him. I think he had him and Winoker were on it, but I started, but I haven't gotten through a lot of it. We're in May now, so I'm definitely feeling a little bit of a crunch with the bidding that I can do already. I was very cognizant of not going too crazy with my one main event where I'm in the 500s in Fab, so it's kind of like $20 a week at this point on average. So got to be mindful of the spending.
Yeah, I noticed I'm getting like a couple leagues are like $700 to $800, and then a bunch I'm like around $400 to $500. So it's kind of like 50-50 splits in my rosters, time to determine. But I've learned that the 12s, like I said, I can get away with that usually. So I'm going to stay aggressive there and adjust later situation. And 15s, we'll see where it goes. It's like if my team's not middle of the pack right now, I'm being aggressive because I got to get up there quick and then see where I can go from there. I can't just sit around and save my money till later at the same time. So there's a lot of different philosophies. We'll see who's right, who's wrong. I'm probably wrong. But yeah, that's the name of the game. All right, until next time, make sure you follow Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. I am at BDentric. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 763, your week 7 Fab Recap. Catch you all next time.